Okada.
Okada.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back, but this time we want to do a coaches only session.
Wait, Matt's just
Matt supports us.
He's like the water boy. Just kidding. Shout out to Matt. He's out sick today.
Yeah, he's on a leave.
He's on sick leave.
Sick leave.
Not AWOL yet. Sick leave.
Sick leave.
So we should ask for a doctor's note.
You know what? We are gonna Matt. We want a doctor's
note.
Signed and everything. All right, sir. Today's session or today's episode is on something that's near and dear to both of us.
Yes, sir.
Youth sports.
Youth sports.
You and I are both coaches.
Yes, sir.
We've had a little bit of experience under our belt. I won't say, you know, I'm still a rookie. Consider myself a rookie coach.
Oh, I'm still a rookie coach too.
Okay.
Despite the fact that, I mean, technically on paper, I'm USA football certified.
Hey,
on paper. Hey. I got the certificate number and everything.
Got the credentials, everything.
Everything.
Hey, somebody hire this man.
No, please don't. Please don't.
No, but you have something that I don't. You're coached multiple sports.
Yes, sir.
Right. I only coach basketball. That's my wheelhouse. That's what I, my thing, right?
He's like, I'm going to just stick to what I know.
Listen, you know what they say? Keep the main thing the main thing.
Yeah.
But I know your main thing is more so football.
Uh-huh.
Because that's Atlanta Falcons.
Atlanta Falcons. Right? Rise up, 1-0.
So, hey, good win today. Good dub today. But what's really what I want to talk to you about today is our experiences, some of our advice. Mm-hmm. To parents.
Don't do it. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Some of our coaching tactics, philosophies, how we have as we've grown in this game, or we're growing in this game.
Mm-hmm.
What have we learned? How do we look to go ahead and make future changes? What are we thinking? Right. So, I think let's just get right into it, and let's start from the beginning, sir. How did you get into this?
Oh man, purely by accident. So I think to give context, so my son, if I was just like, from the moment he was born, I was like, please, I hope this kid likes sports, right? Because like, outside of the family and work,
right,
anybody who knows me knows, yes, that like my hobby is sports.
Yes,
I love
anything to do sports. With sports is this, yeah, I agree.
Right. So it's like, from the moment he was born, I was hoping. And for the better part of like 8 years, it wasn't looking good for me, homie. It was not looking good for me. But then...
Late bloomer.
Yeah. I decided to take him last November of 2022 to the Falcons versus Commanders game. And for my own self, because I was kind of treating myself in this aspect.
Yeah, of course.
I was like, I'm going to spring for the dream seats, they call them, right up front.
Yeah.
Falcon sideline, pretty close, right by the tunnel. And I was like, you know, maybe he'll get a chance to meet one of the players pregame, postgame, whatever, whatever. If not, cool, we got front row seats to an NFL game, you know. Mm-hmm. It'll be a good, hopefully it'll be a fun experience for him. We go, it's raining, it's cold, it's November.
Hey.
He's soaked. He refused to wear a jacket. He wore his red Falcons hoodie. And so he was soaked within like 20 minutes and refused to like put on his jacket or whatever. I was like, there's no way we're making it through this game. There's zero chance. And partially I was like, halftime, I'm like, so you want to go like beat the traffic, third quarter, beat the traffic, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, nah, I want to stay. Kept saying, I want to stay. And I'm like, at that point I'm cold. I'm like, I'm ready to go. It's actually pretty good close game for a rainy, windy day. And post game, he stayed through the whole game. Post game, the only player who came up was AJ Terrell, who's a corner, starting corner for the Falcons, one of the best corners in the NFL. Came over, he's dabbing some kids up, starts to go back, but then I guess he heard some noise from down from our side, kind of turned back around, came down, took his sweatband off, that little white with the little Falcons logo, hands it to D.
That's it.
He's from that moment, from the car ride home, I want to play football. I want to play football. So shout outs to AJ.
Hey, so
appreciate AJ, that. He like, I mean, I'm sure that they probably know, but I don't know if they really know how, how they potentially change and impact lives. I mean, like, I know it's a cliche thing to say that these professional athletes do, but like in this particular case, he legitimately did. Like, that's his favorite player. He has him on his fantasy team. Yep. Yeah, he started him even over Jesse Bates today, who had two picks and a forced fumble. But he had started boy AJ, right? But like, you know, that just had an impact on him. So ever since then, it was like, I want to play football. Well, football season's over at that point. So I was like, all right, well, let's get you to play basketball too, because I want you to be well-versed in multiple sports just so you can kind of get a taste of them. And then I'll sign you up for flag. That was the deal.
Okay.
Before you could play tackle, I got to sign you up for flag. And so we went through basketball season. And that first basketball season, I had zero intentions of coaching. Zip.
Okay.
I just was like, wanted to put him in something. I'll go watch the games, have fun, be a spectator. Nah, bro. Didn't work out that way. So the league kept reaching out. There's no coach. And I'm just like, man, like, well, what kind of experience is he going to have if, like, they had a couple, you know, volunteers who work admin for the program or whatever, and they try to help coach the teams, but there's not, like, a consistency there, right? It's whoever's working that day. So I was like, I really don't want that to be his first basketball experience. So I don't even remember what happened, but I just, something was like, all right, I'm going to go ahead and do it. So I did it, signed up. And this league was really weird because it, like, kept the kids. Like, the kids were, I think, by height. I don't know if it was by height, but he was definitely not in with the right age group. Okay. He was in with some younger kids.
So sounds like typical.
Yeah, you know, sports. It was very odd. But anyway, but point being is that it happened, you know, kind of just not. The game it wasn't planned. It wasn't planned. But then signing up for flag football was planned.
Yeah.
Okay. But not to be coach.
Okay.
Same thing again. Not the coach. I was like, all right, I did the basketball thing, whatever. Football comes, I'm not going to sign up to coach. I just want to watch my son, take videos and pictures of him. And get into it. And same thing happened, like, up to, I think we were on spring break, and I was getting emails like, there's no coach. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. So then we go to the first scrimmage, three kids show up. D being one of them. The other team just let us kind of, we just did a big practice basically.
Okay.
And split, I mean, we had them go against each other, but three kids were there. Turns out that there ended up being a coach, but all, like, most of the team was on spring break the first weekend of scrimmages. But this other coach coached basketball too. And he only did it because there was no coaches. It's kind of the same thing. So he asked for help, and I was like, all right, well, you know, I'll go ahead and step up and help. And then the only one that I did intentionally is the tackle football that I'm coaching now.
Okay.
So
here we are.
It's happened. So what about you?
What's next, though?
No, but what about you? We'll get into what's next.
So for me, I could tell you that when my son was born.
Sounds like my story.
Kind of. Okay. This kid slept with a basketball.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I have pictures of him sleeping literally with the basketball. So I thankfully, I didn't have to, you know, go in extra, like, hey, I kind of knew he wanted to play. So just to test him and to see what his real interest was, I would start bringing him out when we are 4 mile group and just going out playing. I would bring him out during summer, obviously, because we play late nights. He'd come out and he was more than happy just watching and absorbing and just kind of like learning. And then he got this desire within him that he wants to beat his dad. And I was like, oh, well, you're
good luck with that.
You're a little while away from that point, but. And that kind of like that burned in him. And I, naturally, you know me, I mean, a little bit of trash talk here and there, just to kind of egg him on and fuel that fire a little more, right?
Of course.
And so now, and he kept going. And then I was like, all right, so do you want to play, you know, rec league, just general house league basketball for 7-8 year olds? Would you like to try that? He said, yeah, absolutely. We went there, same story. Nobody volunteers. There's a lot of kids there, but not enough parents who want to take their time out to give back like that.
That's the story of youth coaching.
Exactly. So I got there and I saw that nobody was there and I didn't sign up. I showed up. There's one guy who was like, him and I were the only parents who stuck around on the court. Every other parent dropped and left. Mm-hmm. And I learned that that's the way to get out of coaching. Mm-hmm. You just drop off and you leave.
And you leave.
Right? Like back in the day, I'm going to date myself here. You drop your kid off at the mall and let them babysit your kid at the, right? You let them babysit your kid while you get to take a break. Same thing. So here's what happened. This parent and I were the only ones on the court. And by default, every other parent thought that we were the coaches. They started asking us questions. So we kind of like, I guess by osmosis, right? Mm-hmm. We just kind of fell into it. And I was like, all right, well, you know what? We're here now. And then I thought to myself, you know what? What better way of me being literally with him and not being a sideline parent, not being a bleacher parent.
Right.
I get to be on the court with him, guide him, train him, develop him while developing everybody else, and then giving him tips and pointers on, you know, here, this, this, this. Because no coach is going to do that, right? It is what it is. Parents come and complain about their kids not being able to this, that, right? And we'll get into that a little later, like some of those nuances of coaching. So that's how I got into that coaching. Then we moved to a different location and new town, new city, found another league, joined it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to learn this new league, but I don't want to be a head coach. Mm-hmm. I want to just learn the ropes. It's the next level up. So we got to that point. I spent a season just learning the ropes as the assistant to the assistant coach, per se. Or the, I guess, the Dwight of the office. And it was just great, though, because I got to absorb a lot. I got to learn what to do and what not to do. Mm. But I will credit that coach for allowing me the opportunity to help him.
Right.
So I'm part of his coaching tree. Then from there, we are now in, we had joined another league, a little bit more competitive, well, a lot more competitive. And now he's in a league where the stakes are high, at least for their level, and the competition level is crazy. And I got to learn even more so as a coach, like, okay, this is a new level of coaching. Mm-hmm. And this is just totally new. So again, I'm in that absorbing phase. Mm-hmm. And then when we, you and I then co-coached.
I thought you were going to gloss over that for a hot second.
Come on, bro.
Yeah.
So then you and I co-coached a season and
Of basketball, correct.
And then I took those principles that I learned from his more advanced coaching and the older one and mm-hmm. brought those in, which aligned really well with our RBA mentality, our RBA mindset.
Yep.
And then we made it our own. And now, you know, you and I run clinics and other training sessions. So that's kind of how I fell into coaching. And what I know is it's probably not going to change. And now I'm at the point where it's more so I'm just going to sign up. I'm not even going to bother with the emails of mm-hmm. we need a coach, we need this, we need that. So the great thing about that is our coaching style has been welcomed by certain, you know, I guess that style, the RBA style, whereas parents are reaching out and wanting to team up with us, wanting to have more clinics with their kids want to.
Right.
So that's what made me really happy and really has motivated me, inspired me to keep continuing coaching.
I should have mentioned that the football that I'm signed up for now, that I'm coaching now, I'm not signed up for coaching now. I signed up as an assistant.
Okay.
My plan was to learn for a year and then maybe next year I would think about head coaching because tackle football is a whole different monster.
I bet.
A whole different monster. And I knew that going in. I just wanted to show up, what drills you need me to do, where do you need me to fill in? Mm-hmm. You let me know. And I'm going to take a whole bunch of mental notes.
But you're gonna over be a defensive the course, just like you said, offensive coordinator.
Or even, you know, whatever, wherever I need to fill in.
Sure, yeah.
Just take all those mental notes like you did. Like, let me learn and what to do, what not to do. And so we had way too many kids sign up in our weight class. Mm. And we had to split into two teams, which isn't abnormal, right? especially for the younger kids. As it seems like as you get older, that list starts to dwindle down a lot. So I'm looking at the other age groups, and I'm like, they only got one team. Not age groups, the weight classes. But anyway, same thing happened. We had a coaches meeting, and it was like, we need a coach. And my mind was already turning like, okay, well, if it's not me, I knew for a fact it wasn't going to be any of the other coaches because they had all coached last year on the what's considered like the secondary squad of the weight class.
Got it.
So all of their kids have now moved up to the primary, you know, so like none of them were going to stay in the secondary, what they consider the secondary weight class, whatever. So like I was like, if not me, then who?
Right.
All they're going to do is go keep reaching out to the parents.
Yep.
And it's going to be somebody else. And if they didn't even want to be an assistant coach, what's going to motivate them to be a head coach now?
Right.
Right. That was kind of my mindset going in. So again, we're in this coaches meeting and there's basically two of us there who our kids were on the fence. Like the coach was like, no doubt, like your son, his athleticism, no doubt he can be what they call it, the American. There's an American and national. Mm. The American is supposed to be all of the top players that you put your best players forward, try to win a chip. And he's like, no doubt. You're like, your son could play American now, even with no experience, just because his athleticism is off the chart, right? Most likely at running back. But there's also a lot of other athletes who came up too with the team from last year. So at that point, then he's competing for playing time, right? He said, but you could also stay with the National League and just dominate. And so I was like, it's his first year playing. Like, let's get him some experience. And I had no problem with that. So that's kind of like how I transitioned into that. And I won't talk about the experience yet because I'm sure you're going to ask some questions about that. Absolutely. But I would just say it was like.
Correct. And the other, just to add to that, the same dilemma, right? If a person or a parent is not signing up, and let's say they do get one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my initial thought goes to, now this person was almost forced into the position.
Right.
They're probably not going to go wholeheartedly into it.
Right.
So why not? I know I will, at least for my child.
Right.
And again, I get to build that, you know, relationship. I get to strengthen. I get to spend time with them. We're busy with personal lives. Here's an opportunity. We're together.
Yep.
Let's put in work.
Right.
Right. Worst case, what? He'll grow up and he'll see, all right, dad was with me. He was my coach. And and I asked him. So I didn't just force myself. I asked him.
Yes.
Would you like me to coach you?
Yes.
You also know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't going to be a walk in the park. This is not going to be.
It's almost worse for you than it is for the other kids.
Because you have to set the role model. You got to set the standard.
Absolutely.
Right. And you are going to be expected to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not, you're going to be the guy who's going to get it.
And you're going to get called out.
Correct, in front of everybody. So in that sense, would you like me to coach you? He said yes.
Yep.
All right, cool.
Yep. You know,
let's do it.
Yeah. No, the whole dynamic of parents not signing up to coach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are volunteer leagues, right? And for the most part, I don't think I've seen any around here, at least, that are any paid leagues. Like nobody gets paid for this.
Really?
It's all volunteer run leagues. But like I told, because even after I took the head coach position of the national team, and I had one other guy who he was keeping his son with me, so he told me he'd help me out.
Mm.
But we still needed more than, like, the other team has like five.
Mm.
We still needed more. And so I asked for at least one more. And I told the parents, like, one of the biggest things that you'll get, you can't replicate the experience you get of coaching your child.
Right.
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 Assuming that they want you to, because that's a great point.
Correct.
Because D was the same way. He was like, I want my dad to coach me and everything that comes with it. But it's just like those lifelong memories that he'll have.
Right.
It's like, you can't replicate
correct.
That. You know, yeah, you can have your parents who they came to all my games. Right. No, like, right. no, my dad coached me.
Correct.
All my games. Right.
Right.
And so I try to get some volunteer. I ended up getting one more, but that is an interesting like dynamic, and but I can also see why, right? Like if you don't have a ton of knowledge about what to do,
yeah.
I mean, I know football,
right?
But this has been
right
next level exactly. shit, like for real. Like I'm like, oh okay. I mean, I know football, but damn.
Right.
Like, not damn. Even,
exactly.
So I could understand a parent who, if you don't watch football all the time and you're not that into it, it would be really, it could be challenging to step into that role.
Yeah, no, agreed. So not to transition from that, though, it's a great segue to being in that role of head coach. What are some of your fundamental principles of your coaching styles and your methodologies and how you approach the game, how you approach the kids, the parents, the refs, all that?
So
and other coaches too.
Yeah, so that's interesting because I'm a fairly soft spoken guy.
Right? I know
me.
I'm chill. I'm the bad cop in the
oh, definitely in the basketball league. I was more like the Dwight to your no, Michael Scott, but no,
you were
for
Jim
sure.
Halpert, bro. No,
okay, but you were still like you were still leading things. I was just there, so I didn't get fined. But no, I mean, I think for me, I'm not like a barker. I just can't be. I can't bark.
Yeah, you're not.
Like, I mean, now don't get me wrong. There's moments where I can, but not, especially in football, like the traditional like yelling coach that's yelling, and I can't. This is not my style. This is not my personality, right? Although I can have my moments where I can get pretty stern, but I think most of my philosophy aligns with the Think RBA myself. I mean, both of us do, right? So we kind of form some of it together.
Absolutely.
You know, when we coach. But like, I know one that was put out through this football league I really liked because what they, and I've adopted it, because what they basically put out to the kids and the parents and the families was like what we expect from our kids. We focus on things we can control. Which is lines with our with Think RBA and absolutely. What we taught in basketball too.
Right.
We focus on the things that we can control. What can you control? And they had three: attitude, effort, and focus was their three. And then what I added on to that for in terms of how I wanted my team to run was about accountability and about sportsmanship. Right. So you need to be accountable.
Right.
To your teammates, accountable to me, accountable to yourself.
Right.
Right. And also to have respect.
Yes.
Right. And that's where the sportsmanship, like you got to have respect for the game. You have to have respect for others. Yeah. You know, we've had some scuffles in practice and kids grabbing face mask. Like you got to have respect. Right. And so that's kind of, I think, how I'm going to continue to refine it over time is focused. And because I'm a big believer in the whole like, don't worry about things that you can't control.
Right.
Because it comes from, well, at least for me, where I first kind of really learned that concept was from Seven Habits of Highly Effective People from Covey. And but they talk about your circle of influence, and you only focus on things inside that. Everything else outside is external. You can't control it. So that's how I approach refs.
Okay.
Right. Like when we were in the basketball league, you know, we were the only coaches that didn't get into it with the refs.
Yeah.
Not one time.
Not that entire season.
Every other fucking coach got into it with the refs.
They did.
At some point or another, arguing calls and this and that. I'm like, this is a summer house league.
Correct.
Like,
it's not that deep, bro.
It's not that deep.
There's not that many. There's no scouts here. There's no 10-day contracts.
We're not
being
getting
handed
a 10
out.
Day. Right. but more than that, it's just like, These people are donating their time too, so that our kids can play.
Correct.
And there's stuff happening. There's kids that don't even know how to dribble yet.
Right.
Like we can't blow whistle every time, so you're not gonna get the calls. Like it's just crazy. So, but I believe in the same respect towards the refs, and like they got hard jobs too. Yeah. They're volunteering their time to be out here for this to even happen.
Absolutely.
And so if they make a call and I disagree with it, we keep it moving. It happened
exactly
in our scrimmage just 2 days ago.
Oh, wow.
Just 2 days ago. They weren't like, there was very little calls. There was a few calls here and there. They didn't call holding once. These kids were holding each other up and down the field. Like, it just is what it is. Right?
They're kids.
They're 10 and under.
Right.
Learning. Some of these kids are learning football for the very first time. Mm. You don't think that they're holding each other's jerseys? Right. Come on now. Like, they're holding each other up and down the field. It happened at our scrimmage over the weekend, right? Mm. So, you know, these refs are out there and they're doing their best. It's probably like a scrimmage for them too. They're trying to get ready or whatever, but kids are going up and down the field. They're holding each other all day. These kids are 10 and under. They're, you know, maybe some are 11 year olds, but like some of them are learning football for the very first time.
It's expected.
And so they didn't call any holding the entire game. There's a few procedural things here and there that they threw flag, but generally it was a clean game. And they're just sometimes they were even stopping and helping the kids, like, oh, you lined up wrong, whatever. So we're getting kicked in the teeth at this point, fourth quarter, and there's only a couple minutes left. We have like a third down and eight or something like that, and there's like less than 2 minutes left. So I call a fake handoff rollout pass. So, and D plays quarterback, so he fakes it and rolls out, and offensive line, two guys miss a block. And he had their free rushers coming at him. His receivers didn't get open. And instead of continuing to roll out, he pivoted and went back left. Outran the two people that were coming at him. Outran the defensive end who popped out and took off for like 40 yards. And they caught a hold. And so, you know, we ended up getting... you know, we got to get him pushed back, and then we did it again, same play again, and he ended up getting another 20 yards. But point being is, like, am I going to get mad at the ref? Like, I'm frustrated because the only time you called it the whole game, but am I going to go out there and throw a tantrum and all of that? And I'll tell you why. The main reason that I don't do that, and I know there's a lot of coaches that do, is because I think it sets a bad example for the kids.
Absolutely, bro.
And we saw that in basketball, too, where there's a bad example set for kids in terms of sportsmanship with the other team, with coaches, when you just act up because you make it about yourself instead of about the kids.
Correct.
And that's just, I can't get down with that. And so that's why it's about respect for me.
Right. And also it shows that how you deal with problems and issues in life.
Yeah.
That is not how you deal with it. But when you is that that's how you see your coach behaving. Oh, okay. So this is how I'm supposed to do it when I'm faced with this type of issue in life as I grow up. No, that's a bad example. Yep. So yeah,
And that's why we always tell the kids, real ballers adjust, right? And that you can't worry about what the ref does, because guess what? How many refs after they make a call say, you know what? Just kidding, I was wrong.
Right.
Like, especially in basketball, for you, especially in basketball, because there's very little challenging. In football, there's more challenging, whatever. But for the most part, like, the refs are going to make the calls. You're gonna battle through it.
Listen, again, you don't control the ref. Ref controls the game.
Or anything else.
Correct.
Because in the first scrimmage, I think Deke started to get a little frustrated because he said, oh, the kid grabbed my face, man. We didn't have refs. It was like a 10-play. Like, we got to run 10 plays on offense. They ran 10 plays on offense against our defense, right? Okay. There are no refs. We're just out there to practice, basically. And he started to get frustrated because, you know, oh, this kid was grabbing my face mask. And I just looked at him and was like, RBA.
Correct.
What are you going to do about it?
100.
Go on to the next play.
Yes.
If he goes for your face mask, just do a rip move.
There you go.
Do a swim move. Something like get around him and then go make the play.
Right.
Don't sit here and cry and complain about it.
What is that going to do? Nothing.
It's not going to change anything.
Exactly. He's just going to keep doing it.
Correct.
No, I'm with you, man. That's awesome. Challenges, though. I'm sure there's plenty.
You know, so. Let me preface this with, like I said, and I think you can validate, like, being able there to coach not just your own kid, but like, you start to learn the personalities of these other kids and they'll start to grow on you too. Like, oh, like, these are my boys, right? Yes, like, these are the kids I want to go into battle with, right? Even the ones that might frustrate you a little bit because they have their moments where you know what I mean? And so... So I say that in all love and love and respect.
However, comma,
man, especially at these ages, the attention spans Oh my goodness. We definitely live in a generation of Instagram reels and TikTok videos
highlights
and YouTube shorts. Like everything is like all the time, yeah. Right? Yeah. Stimulation all the time, 24/7. So trying to get them that focus one is like the hardest one. Mm. You know, especially with the less experienced players, because they're just kind of like there to have fun. Some of them are just there to have fun, to be honest with you.
They
like
are.
Some of them are just there to have fun. Even with basketball,
there are some casuals
This is a summer activity so that I can put my kids in it, and they're not there
right.
for the same reasons Tage is there, right? Like, they're not.
No.
So I think focus like that is, to me, one of the biggest challenges. There's a lot more, but that's one of the biggest challenges, getting them to focus just to listen enough to get the instruction that they need to develop.
Okay.
What about you?
So I'm gonna go back just a second, because my challenges are tied in with some of my principles.
Okay.
So like you, some of my principles are the same, right? Sportsmanship and teamwork.
Yep.
Which aligns with respect and so forth. I am the barker.
You're definitely louder than me.
I like to really push the kids to see how far I can take them. Now, that may be welcomed by some parents, some not, but I do like to push them to a point, because some kids learn and realize, oh, wait, I can do more than I thought I could.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's a win. If I can get even one kid to believe that and feel that, see that, experience that, I won. That's my W for the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like some of my drills are, I put my son through some drills that technically adults go through. Those are not drills that a typical 9-year-old would go through.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to see where his breaking point was. And I haven't found it yet, which is great.
It's great.
That's an ode to him, right? His mindset. He's got the RBA mindset. Now it's his job, and I'm trying to help him to take that. All right, let's see how far we can take this.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, like you said, the higher up you go, the harder it gets, the numbers get smaller, but the talent gets better.
Yes.
So, and a big, and I can't emphasize this enough, component of that is focus.
Focus.
Which is the challenge. I found a way around it, being the bad cop. I don't advise everyone to, you know, this might be an uncomfortable situation. If you were comfortable going through it, fine, do it. I am. If you mess up and you don't focus, your whole team gets punished.
Mm-hmm.
So now what do? You don't want, now I tell them, you don't want to be that guy.
Bro, can I just say something real quick?
Yeah.
About not wanting to be that guy? So we do that in football too. Mm. So I'm the type, so I'm like you, right? Oh, you still going to get me, make no mistake about it.
Right.
Like, just because I might not bark out loud because I'm upset that you're not focused, doesn't mean you're not going to be held accountable for it.
There you go.
I look at the other coach and I say, all right, coach, up, downs. I'm not going to yell.
There you go.
And then we get them all spread out and y'all going to be we're doing up, downs, because you're not listening. Three of you have your heads turned. You're not listening to us.
Yep.
And then the other kids who were,
there you go.
But still, some of these kids are so young that it's still like developing.
Right.
So it hasn't quite clicked yet, but like, oh yeah, no, we're make no mistake about it. The other kids know that, like, oh my gosh, these are like, stop talking, because we're gonna have to do up downs.
Exactly.
We make them get up. Like, one of the things I learned from the main coach before we split our teams is like, everybody gets on. We say you have a minute. You got 30 seconds. You got to line up. Everybody toes on the line, strapped up, helmet strapped up, mouthpieces in, ready to go.
Mm.
And if everybody's not done, spread them out. You're doing up downs. No, and they don't like doing up downs.
Done.
And the heat.
Exactly.
It's not fun. So I'm with you on that. That's the way you got
to
do it.
I've yet to meet an athlete who enjoys suicides and up downs and anything that requires a lot of running and those type of drills.
But it's group accountability.
Exactly. Exactly. You are accountable to your teammates. I don't care you're the best player. I don't care you're the worst player. You're all together in this as a team, as a unit. You come together, you play together, you fight together. These are all your brothers.
Oh, yeah. And the best brothers, players get it even more.
Correct.
Because, like, so, I tell D, I've done it in practice, and I'm like, in front of everybody, like, I expect better of you. Right. You're goofing off right now.
Right.
Why are you goofing off? We got 2 hours to get this work in. I expect more of you. Get it together.
And this is to say, or add to piggyback this, when we co-coached, we sat our boys down together.
Yep.
And we told them what? When we are on that court with you, I told my son, that's not Uncle Hack, Uncle Ken. That is not Uncle Ken.
Mm-mm.
And I'm not Uncle Hack.
Right.
That's Coach Ken, Coach Hack.
That's right.
And I'm going to rip into you when I need to.
Mm-hmm.
He going to rip into you when he needs to. And that's how we're going
to
do this.
There was times where I was like, bro, you need to talk to D because I can't even deal with him right now.
Correct. And we had to do that. Both of us had to do that with our kids, right?
Right.
And that's kind of the approach that we have adopted. And I think that's a great way to do it because sometimes your child, and that's another challenge, right? Your kid tunes you up because also you've been there so much. It's, dad's just going at it again.
Yep, there goes dad
again.
And I'm
sure every dad out there can deal with this.
Right.
Right? So if dad's going at it again, all right, let me have a new perspective, a new talk to my child and kind of give that same message in a different way.
Right.
And hopefully it'll be taken.
Right.
And so along with some of those challenges, right, I want to talk about multiple challenges.
Okay.
Let's dive deeper into challenges because there's that side of it where your child's challenge, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a pressure of, okay, now this is my child. I would like for them to perform well because a lot of dads I see on the sideline dads, bleacher dads, bro, I have not seen this many angry people at their kids because their kid missed a bucket, missed a layup, missed a pass, missed a catch, missed, like, all right, it's okay. You've probably forgot your days when you were growing up.
Can you get in here right now?
Exactly.
And do it.
Exactly. You do you do 10 up downs and then go make a play and take it to the house.
Right.
And then yell at, and then have your kid yell at you.
Right.
So I would say like that's a challenge from the parent side. That's a challenge because now why is my son not getting playing time? Why does my son not see field? Why does not my son not see the court? Oh, my son doesn't come to practice, but I want my son to be the prime time player. Okay.
Right.
Why does the coach's son get to play? Okay. So there's these challenges. The ref is a challenge. There are different aspects of challenges that one coach or a group of coaches have to...
That they're not being paid for.
Deal with on a volunteer basis.
Yes.
Right? How do you... So what is your approach to... I know you talked a little bit about it from like certain aspects of it, but parents, let's get to parents though.
So I'll be honest with you, like the whole, as I was figuring out whether I was going to volunteer to be the head coach for the football team, the parents, dealing with parents was the number one issue. Like I've seen it from the AAU basketball side.
Right.
And I've seen it from even in flag, it was like, oh, this is serious. Like we're getting NFL contracts, we're gonna get drafted off of flag football. Like I didn't realize it was that deep.
Yeah,
but apparently. Okay. So that was eye opening. And it wasn't terrible, but there was an incident. Just put it out like that. And so that was my biggest hesitation, man. It was just like parents.
Right.
But I will say so far between especially the last two, like the football I'm doing now. And a basketball that we did, we were blessed in basketball to have a really great group of parents.
Yes, yes.
They were super supportive of everything we were doing.
Right.
That was the best group of parents that I have had yet. I mean, I'm still still getting to know the parents that I have now, but the parents I have now are great as well. Like super supportive, and they're always reaching out. They're willing to, you know, help. They're not they're on time. They get their kids to practice. Mm. I mean, there's a lot of communication. Mm. So I have a great group of parents for football now. So I'm really happy with that because that was
That's one of
my
blessing, man.
Bruh.
It's a blessing.
Parents were one of my, and some of them have played before.
Okay.
Some of their kids have played before. So some of those parents, like one dad in particular, was kind of giving me a lowdown of the league in the past year and things that have happened and with the teams and whatever. So that information has been extremely valuable.
Good. Yeah, man. I want to talk about real quick about, just go back to Russ real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's this, the parents are a challenge, right? And that spills over to you as a coach sometimes.
Yes.
Parents are also a challenge. And I've seen this happen in AAU basketball.
I know exactly where you're going.
Where parents go at the refs.
Yeah.
And then that punishes the child ultimately to come back to the coach.
Yep.
So in that sense, like parents, having a good set of parents as a coach is a blessing. And one of the first things we tell our parents when we, for AAU basketball at least, leave the refs alone.
Yep.
Please leave the refs alone. They will punish your child. And you will get that extra whistle call, which will make you even more mad. And yep. Listen, they have the whistle. You don't. Right? We can worry about this later after the game. But right now, stop hurting your child, your team.
Right.
Stop hurting us. So.
No, yeah. I mean, I think in football, if it gets bad enough, we get penalized.
Correct.
So, but the, as we were, you know, doing all the preseason stuff and all the meetings that we had with all the coaches. I mean, it was very clear, like, part of your responsibility is to handle the parents. And if they get out of line with the refs, like, the refs aren't going to talk to them. The refs are only going to talk to you.
Right.
And then you're going to have to go to the parents. And there's, and I've heard in the past, there have been, you know, instances where coaches have had to go hard at the parents because from the sidelines, they were, you know, going at the refs. So, I mean, to be determined in that aspect, I think, you know, based off of the scrimmage that I had, that we had, you know, a few days ago, and most of the kids were there, it doesn't seem like I have that kind of issue, but you never know if it's a close game, stakes, you know, whatever's going on.
Absolutely.
It could happen, but I'm definitely prepared for it. Not looking forward to it if it happens. Hopefully it doesn't.
Right. And that's what I tell my son. I'm like, listen, that ref right there, he's a human just like you.
Yeah.
He has emotions just like you.
Right.
Now, if I'm going to go at him, that's a bad, setting a bad example. Two, he's going to remember Coach Heck is a problem coach.
Right.
Every time I coach his game, you know what I mean? Like, you're already tainted. You don't want to go into any coaching event already with a reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's that coach. Like that one coach in our league who got a technical during an all-star game. Kids all-star game.
Like how?
Almost getting ejected, right?
How do you get a tech?
And this is a coach, right?
In a house, summer house league basketball. Anyway. I mean, I was there, so I know how.
Right.
But
I heard secondhand from you, right? Which was mind-blowing to me. I just never thought that was a thing that happened.
Yeah.
But it did.
No, I mean, I think, like, again, you just got to approach that. I mean, for me, my style is if I get a call, like, okay, well, what's the call? Oh, really? Like, I'm just going to ask him questions, but I'm not going to yell at him.
So you and I,
what do I get out of yelling at him?
Exactly.
Like, is he going to overturn it?
Is he going, oh, I'm sorry, Coach Ken. Right. Let me reverse, like, this call for you.
I don't understand it. Let's talk to him like a human and be like, even if I say, like, oh, I'm not sure I agree with that one. But at the end of the day, he's not going to change his mind.
Exactly. He's not going to control Z it.
Right.
He's just not.
He's not.
But he can try to correct it next time. But go talk to him like a human being.
Right.
So I take it a step further. And I told my son, listen, I want you to go up to that ref, shake his hand or her hand, conversate with them, learn their name.
Mm-hmm.
Because they also have a name. It's not just ref one, ref A. Ref.
Right.
They have
generic
a name.
Ref A.
Get to know them.
Right.
Right. And you get to know a coach. Oh, they have a family. He has a child that plays.
Right.
That's how you build a bond. That's relationship building. And that's what it's about. And that also shows that ref and that coach that, oh, this kid is different. this kid is approach, like this kid wants to learn. This kid is not just out here to be a casual.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of elements to that. So now let me take this a different way.
Okay.
If I may.
I mean, you always like to color outside the lines.
Competition, right? When it comes to competition, how do you balance that competitive line of that line of competition and development? Because it's a really fine line that, like, you know, that you were really tiptoeing as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
How far can I take this? But I can tell you honestly, when we were doing the basketball thing, I knew I was waiting for the commissioner to call me, because some parents said, "Yo, this coach is taking it hard on our kids. Like, he's pushing them."
Mm-hmm.
And then there were moments on the flip side where I saw some coaches push that line, where we had a coach who literally walked over to our side of the bench to tell us that our kids were playing maybe a little too aggressive.
Mm.
And this is the first game of the season. And which was a shock. Like, you know, that's the ref's job to do,
right?
Not mine.
Right.
We train our kids a certain way.
You're not even supposed to talk to each other during the game.
You're not even supposed to be on my side. That's a tech. Right. Yeah. It's an ejection almost. So what is your, you know, philosophy or approach around that?
This is a really tough one, because, you know, neither one of us are about participation trophies. And it's all you play to win the game. As Herman Edwards said, you play to win the game. However, comma, like 9, 10, 11 year olds.
Right. Managing expectations. Right?
I have a kid that just turned 8.
Ooh.
On my football team.
Oh, wow.
Right. So, like, at that age, yeah, of course you want to win. You want to hype them up to go win.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't, for me, it's where I balance the line is you don't want to push winning so hard that they don't enjoy the sport anymore.
Correct.
And so 100. So development is number one. I mean, like, at this age, above everything, development is number one no matter what level you're in.
Right.
You got to develop. But then winning comes, like, right, 1A with that development, right? Because, okay, if you're developing but you can't win, that becomes a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But at this age, for me, it's about making sure that when they leave my team, they're like, I want to continue to play.
Yes.
Because I had such a good time, win or lose,
right,
that I want to continue to play the game and I don't fall out of love with it for those that do love it.
Right.
Or if they're casuals, maybe they fall in love with it,
right?
So I think, to me, that's the biggest thing, is leaving that impact to where they're not like, oh, I'm never playing football again because I don't want to play for anybody who coaches like that.
Mm. Okay. That's a great point, because I've come across some coaches and I'm like I've had parents come and say, listen, do you know the team? Is because if my child isn't that coach's team, I'm pulling out.
Right.
And to me, that's like, what?
Right.
Like, and you as a coach, that should be a big, like, red flag. Like, oh, I need to, like, fix my approach.
Well, if they know.
If they know. But
you should, like, have enough self-awareness to know if you're, yeah.
Yeah. So with me, though, with that competition and development, as like you said, that's a lifelong process.
Right.
But with development early on, it's more so physical development with the mental. But as the higher up you go, it becomes more mental rather than physical. Physical continues, but mental is where the separation starts happening.
Right.
Now, with competition in sense of winning and losing, I believe this, I tell my son this, I tell everybody this. You can't learn how to win if you don't know how to lose.
Mm. Say it again.
You can't learn how to win if you don't know how to lose. Right? You have to win gracefully. You have to lose gracefully. You have to take that and run with it. So if you don't know how to handle loss, how to overcome, because losing, nobody likes losing. Nobody likes losing. That's a standard, I think. Right? Nobody likes losing in anything in life.
Right.
Whether it's a job, you're playing sports, you're playing video games, you don't like losing.
Right.
Debate, whatever. So now you're here, you lost. Someone has to, it's a game. Someone has to win, someone has to lose. How do you handle that loss? Do you cry? Do you pout? Are you slumped over? Chin down? Body language? As a coach, that screams to me. Because that tells me you're mental.
Right.
What kind of person are you? It doesn't even tell you what kind of athlete you are. What kind of person are you? When you face with adversity, do you rise? Are you going to crumble in pressure? Because now I know, okay, so-and-so, I can't put in the fourth quarter.
Right.
I don't want you at the line. I don't want you bringing that final shot. I can't give you the final shot. Because you're going to, tells me who's going to be a potential leader. Who's not going to be a leader. That could change with time, mm-hmm. with experience. But there's so many factors into that just that simple concept of you don't know how to lose, right? If you have to learn how to lose first to know how to win right.
That's a great point, and it kind of reminds me of a story of our summer basketball league, right? Because mm-hmm. we started off with a group that we knew there was a where general skills were mm-hmm. for half of the team.
Yes.
The other half of the team we didn't really know.
Right.
And I honestly believe, and I know you do too, I know you co-signed this real quick with me, is that our team grew the most out of any team that whole season.
Sure.
Like, absolutely.
Yeah.
And unfortunately or fortunately, I guess more unfortunately for us, we went undefeated
right.
up to the championship right. game. So they hadn't tasted loss yet.
Right.
But their skill, like they were developing their skills.
Yes.
From game to game to game.
Right.
They were getting better every practice.
Absolutely.
And like, that's what I mean. Like they grew exponentially.
Exactly.
You know, to the point where even though we lost the championship game by one point,
mm-hmm.
because the other team put in a zone in the paint and we were playing man defense all year. And our kids kind of really hadn't really dealt with right. that zone too right. much. And we still only lost by one point right. and you know, whatever happened down the stretch is whatever happened. But the point being is like they had to learn how to lose. And unfortunately for them, it was in that championship game. But getting them to lose gracefully, get in line up, shake hands, you know, do all of that, get the second place trophy, which mm-hmm. was tough for a lot of them. Mm-hmm. But then even coming back 2 days later and half of them playing in the All-Star game
right.
against that same zone, boom, we won. Right. right. They did need to learn how to lose first.
Absolutely.
And I think they probably learned more by losing that championship game
right.
than they would have by going undefeated correct. And winning that championship correct. Game.
100% agree. Especially, I always think that if you taste success too early, it stunts your growth.
Yes.
So you can't, I don't want, of course I want my child to succeed.
Right.
I want our team to succeed, but I don't want them to, this may sound like an oxymoron,
mm-hmm.
I don't want them to taste success too early, too quickly, where they take it for granted.
Right.
Where the work required to get to that point becomes almost forsaken, right? And now it's like, we're good. We don't need to worry about them.
Right.
No, you do.
You do.
You do. You worry about everybody.
Right.
I tell my son, listen, when I play you, I'm going to take it to play you the same way I play somebody else. Like, you're not going to beat me.
Right.
If you want to beat me, it's going to take, you're really going to have to beat me. There's no free handouts here.
Right.
Dad ain't going to do it just to make you feel good. Right. And I'm going to beat you and I'm going to let you know I beat you.
Right.
Because that's how competition is.
Right.
Because we live in a world right now where you can't do that. I can't, not taunting, but I can't trash talk per se in that way where it's more so like, you know, if I beat my son, here, hold this L.
Right. And it's frowned upon.
Right. I can't go do that. I can do it with him.
Yeah.
But also, him losing in that championship game, it put this fire in him even more so. I didn't even have to tell him the next day, he was already up working on his game. Had he won, I may not have seen that.
Right.
I could tell you he came home and he threw out his trophy immediately.
I expected nothing less from him.
He threw out his trophy.
So D took a different approach. Mm. You know what he told me? Mm. He said, I'm putting it on my nightstand.
Nice.
So that I can look at it, like, and it's going to remind me of what I don't want to have happen in football.
There you go.
And
there
it's still go. On his nightstand.
I love it. So different things motivate different people, right? So that's the competitive line. Like, because every child, again, the child that slumps over versus the child that says chin up. Now as a coach, I know, okay, I need to coach him this way, him this way, him this way to get this whole unit. Sounds like work, doesn't it?
Bruh, you just brought up the best point just to tie back to the whole, like, the whole mental side of things. Because mm-hmm. the skill development, I mean, right. it's easy to run kids through drills. You can just keep running this drill and try to perfect their technique and different things. Trying to pull the mental side out of them is probably the biggest challenge. Right. And that aggressiveness to, like, you know, in football, like, go hit somebody. Go, like, this is your opportunity to, like, safely and legally hit another kid. Like, you do, take advantage of it.
I tell my son, you do realize this is a contact sport, right?
Right.
This is not golf. It's not tennis.
No.
It's a contact sport.
Contact, like, like, offensive line, like, push off on those blocks. Defensive line, fire off and hit, right. like, go try to hit.
You won't get in trouble hitting somebody. Hit somebody.
So, like, just trying to pull that out, I think, is that mental side mm-hmm. is probably one of the other biggest challenges right. besides focus. And, you know, they're going to get it over time as they continue to mature.
But, you know, though, one great thing is that has happened, though, from the coaching aspect perspective is, when I look at a kid and I see, all right, this kid's tough, this kid has potential, this kid's just here for the summer, this kid is whatever, right? Now, because we run clinics, mm-hmm. I can invite certain groups of kids with that same mindset, the same fabric, to come out, and now we go through a completely different drill,
yep.
training session, clinics. Like, it's not very our regular house league or whatever, you know, league-based trainings. This is more so, all right, this is now an RBA training. This is not that training.
You're going to have to start having them fill out waivers. Shit,
like. We had an incident once, right? We did. But it's that fabric, and I can pull that fabric out. And now when that group gets together and they go against each other, it's a different level.
Right.
Which also helps me with my coaching tactic, because now I can change it and be more skill-based versus everyone needs to do kind of be together based, right?
Right.
So there's a lot of pros and cons to coaching.
Yeah.
And that's.
But you want them to learn how to be, like, mentally tough and absolutely. Competitive. I think that's what it boils down to is, say, like, how do you overcome
right.
the refs doing something, other kids saying things to you, they're right. tugging on your jersey, they're pulling on your face mask, they're pulling on your jersey mm-hmm. in basketball. He keeps fouling me, he's reaching in, mm-hmm. but they're not calling it. Like, how are you mentally tough enough to overcome that to go on to the next play, to the next play, to right, the next play, right, to the right, next right. play? And that, I think, is where the competition side comes in, to where it's development and competition, and you hope that a win comes with it, but you're not, like, win at all costs.
Right. No, exactly. 100%. 100%. So, sir, let me ask you this question. What is your biggest pet peeve in your coaching experience?
So it's definitely the, so again, for the most part, by and large, I've been blessed to deal with a lot of great parents, great families, super supportive. The one incident that happened in flag football was crazy. Like,
okay.
this dad said he said he didn't volunteer to coach because I got, like, the argument got so bad. It was like, why didn't you sign up to coach then? Mm-hmm. And he didn't because he had gotten into an accident or something and okay. couldn't do it, whatever. But he's there at every practice for the most part. And there was just one point. I think we were like 2-1 record wise at okay. the time. And this dude says, like, first of all, one of the kids who we have a really hard time getting to focus, like super, super hard okay. time. He was every practice, like,
okay.
pay attention. We need you to focus. We need you to know what to do in this play. Mm. Always doing something. He's something else.
Okay.
Other than what we needed him to do. And he threw the football up after running one play.
Mm.
I was off to the side. The other coach is talking to a different player. And the ball comes down and almost hits one of the other kids. There's a whole like rile about, why are you trying to hit me with the ball? And our other coach was a barker. He was loud, very loud. Okay. He was, his like voice naturally just like projects. Okay. And so if he gets loud, his voice gets louder. Ooh. And he said something about like, stop throwing it. He was also like frustrated because we're three quarters through the practice and this kid's been goofing off for most of the practice. And or goofing off, not paying attention through most of it. Mm. And then you do like complain when I like, oh, I should get the ball. I should do this. I want to do this. And I'm like, you're not even paying attention to do the one thing we need you to do.
Mm.
So he's already kind of frustrated, but he's just like telling him like, you can't do that because it's not safe. You can hit somebody. And this dude, this dad from the sidelines, like, he wasn't throwing it to him, coach. He was throwing it to you.
Mm.
And our coach was like, but I was talking to this other kid. What are you talking about?
Mm.
Like, even if he was throwing it to me, I still wasn't looking for the ball either.
Right.
He still shouldn't have done it. And like, they started going at it, like, arguing on the field. And I had to get the, like, pull the kids off to the side. But they were, but it was something that has none of his business. It didn't involve his kid.
Mm.
And then he says some things like, we weren't trying to win because we had this one kid who, who he's like, y'all
trying to throw a game? You trying to throw a kid's game?
he said we didn't want to win because we had a kid that we played.
Oh God!
And he wasn't good, and we shouldn't be playing him. The other teams.
Oh really?
The other teams barely play the kids that aren't good.
And, did he pay the fee everybody else did?
Bro, like he paid the $200 like every fucking buddy else. I was so mad, and I'm like, nah. See, that's the one thing I'm not gonna do. That's again to what I just said. Like the kid, if we don't play him, like okay, I'm here. I'm coming to every practice. He came. He was there every practice, every game.
Mm.
But I'm gonna play like three plays. He's not gonna enjoy that. Right. What kind of experience is that exactly. For his parents who also and money's whatever, but like they still paid to have him participate. Absolutely. And he's here. Like why would we not? So we put him in the best possible spot we could for the team to be successful. And because of that, we didn't wanna win. And that there's other parents that laughing in the sidelines that this is a joke and da da da. We're 2-1 at the time. We're 2-1. We won two games and we lost one game before this happened. And it's just that. So that was just one of those where I'm like, again,
lesson learned. Right?
Why did I sign up to be a coach? Like this is what the stuff I did not want to have to deal with. And I'm just hopeful that doesn't happen in tackle. So far, so good. But that was the one like pet peeve I was like, why are you getting involved? And again, if you want to be involved, now that guy came and apologized to me like the one of the next practices, the other coach wasn't there, he never went back and apologized to them to the main coach.
So that aligns very close with mine, but more so any person who displays anything outside of our core principles, parent or coach or whoever, I have that's my pet peeve, where they don't behave in more like a role model like behavior in front of those kids. You saw this. This is when you used to come watch some of Tate's early games.
Mm-hmm.
There was a coach had an incident with our coaching staff. The ref had to call both of us out, or all of us out, to the center court.
Put the kids to the bench.
Exactly. And have a little conversation. Right now, what message does that send the kids? And same thing with parents who do likewise, right? So I have a big problem with that.
Yeah. Just stay in your lane.
You know what that says, though? The kids aren't the problem.
Right.
It's the adults.
It's the adults. The adults are the problem.
So, I mean.
Yo, that's so funny. It's true. So, it's true. But that's because, again, I think it all goes down to the reasons why kids are there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of the kids are there because they're passionate about it.
Right.
Some of the kids are there because their parents are passionate about it.
Right.
And trying to live through them. Or they see an inkling of like, oh, he might be or she might be good at this sport. Let me go put them in here. Right. And maybe they're not, right?
You have to accept
maybe that, right? They are, right. Maybe they're not. But some people have a harder time accepting that than others.
Facts.
But again, at this age, you don't know. It's gonna be a couple more years before the cream continues to rise to the top, and some kids are gonna be like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Right.
So, I was a good football player, but I was not in when I was that age. Mm. I was not in it mentally for the right reasons.
Right.
And then I felt like, and I'm sure my pops will probably tell me that that's not what happened. Mm. But my memories of it, or I felt like I was being pushed into it.
Okay.
And I didn't like feeling like, oh, I don't want to do this. So when I had the chance to get out of it, because I got an appendicitis, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I'm done. I could have played that season. Mm. I would have been out probably like the first month maybe.
Mm.
But I would have played. And I was like, used it as an excuse to get out. And now I'm like regretful.
So that's a great, great example of, and thank you for sharing that. And that's a great example of, from a coaching and parenting point of view, you don't want to be that parent or that coach that pushes that kid to that point where you take their love away for it. Let me ask you one final question to wrap this up.
Okay.
If you can give one piece of advice.
Don't do it.
To parents or parents trying to be coach, parents just trying to be parents, drop off parents, kids, whatever. What is your biggest piece of advice you can share?
Just to the parents?
To whoever. The okay. stage is yours, my friend.
Oh, man. This can go in so many different directions.
I know.
So I'm going to take it in two places. So okay. one, for parents who don't want to coach but want to just watch their kids, especially if they have high hopes for their kids' athletic futures,
mm-hmm.
please remember that these, for the most part, no, I say for the most part because the program, the AAU program that you're in, that's different. That's very, very different because you're paying a lot of money for that to happen. And like any AAU program, I'm not just saying you, generally, any parent who pays for their kid to be in any travel team sport is paying a lot of money for that. That's one thing. But when you're in like house league type environments that's fully volunteer run, and you have another parent volunteer, unless you step up to coach, you don't get a say. You don't get a say.
Say it
and
again.
Just remember that.
Preach.
This is another person who is probably working full time. I am, right? Full time job. Shoot, I'm a second level supervisor.
I thought you were a full time coach.
No, the way it's been going. the way it's been going, it feels like a second full-time fucking job. Mm. That's a whole nother topic that we could talk about because like the difference between coaching basketball and football, maybe next episode, we'll have to talk about that.
Yeah, I want to learn. I want to know what you...
It's deep for me anyway. Okay. But anyway, but just to say I got a lot to do during my work hours, two kids, a wife, I got my family. Mm. And then I go 3 days a week. It's literally as soon as my son comes home, get ready so we can get out to the field. I got to be there first. I feel like I do.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm the coach, of course. Right? Gonna set the tone. I got to be out there. One of the first anyway. Bring all of our equipment down. Get stuff set up. Be prepared with our practice plan. All this stuff. I'm putting personal time into that. Outside of, I'm not just bringing my kid here and being like, okay, so what are we gonna do today? There's a lot of behind the scenes time. There's a lot of emails. Yeah. There's a lot of other stuff. So thankfully, again, I've been lucky to have really, really good supportive parents. So I'm blessed in that aspect. But knowing that that's a thing out there in society for those parents, if it resonates with anybody, please be nice to your coach, man. Just he or she, they're trying their best.
They are.
They're trying their best. And even if you don't think they're trying their best, they're probably trying their best.
Right.
Okay. And if you don't like it, then sign up to coach. Do something about it.
There it is.
Anyway.
There it is.
Get off that soapbox. But that was the one aspect. So the second aspect to that was going to be for parents who don't volunteer to coach is I just highly recommend it. If you have any inkling of knowledge about the sport or want to do it, and your kid is supportive of it, bro, there's no better feeling. There is no better feeling. Yes. Like, I know that I'm creating memories that this kid is going to remember for a long time.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not sitting on the sideline on my phone, and I'm not saying that to judge any other parent, you know, because there's a lot of parents. There's some parents who drop off and leave. Mm-hmm. They did it with basketball. I've seen it with football. I'm going to drop them off. I'll be back to pick them up when it's over. It's just an activity. There's other parents who sit and watch the whole practice, right?
Yep.
That's great too. It's different levels of involvement, but there's nothing. There's no better feeling. There's no better feeling than getting in there coaching your kid and then seeing that translate into the field. So if I can share a short story, I know we're kind of going long, right, but this is you and me.
Hey, listen,
this is what podcast. Happens when fucking Matt's not here. But to share a story though, like. Mm. And this is recent. Mm. So Dylan's playing quarterback and he went into this thing and he played running back.
Mm.
We have a lot of fast kids. Well, we need our quarterback to also have some speed. So if the play breaks down, we need them to be able to go out. This is youth league. There's a lot of running. There's not a lot of passing. He was a little bit worried about the passing side. Mm. Come to find out, he's got a little bit of an arm, which I did not know. Hey. The main coach is the one who kind of put me onto it early because I was like, I don't want to assess him.
Hmm.
I'm
biased. Right.
So assess him. And he said he sees him as a QB or wingback.
Because
we run a two wingback formation. He's like, he's just got the athleticism. And so, you know, we tried it out a couple of different ways and ended up putting him at quarterback. All that to say that early on he had no confidence and he was like, I don't like this. And then even to last week like we're getting ready for scrimmages and he one night was like, after practice, he's like, I don't want to play quarterback anymore, could I just play wing back? And I'm like, why? What happened? Like, you're doing good, you're getting better every rep, you're getting a little bit better, I was like, it's going to take time. You can't just get in there. You've only done it like a few times now. He's like, there was something that happened. And then when they went to get water, he overheard some kids say, oh, we need a second quarterback or something like that. And then it just like shot his confidence. Mm. And so I talked to him, you know, and kind of talked it through. But didn't let him quit. I'm like, I'm not letting you quit. Like, this is what we need for the team to be successful. Mm-hmm. And I explained all the reasons why I needed him there. And so we go through, we get to the scrimmage. Even though we got smacked in the mouth, you know, after it was over, we were going home. He said, Dad, I enjoy playing quarterback now.
Love it.
I enjoy playing quarterback now and I feel more confident.
Awesome.
And I was just like,
done.
So that there's no better feeling like when you're coaching your kid,
right?
And that happens and you can see them start to literally mature and like real time this. And they start thinking RBA in real time.
Right.
It's great. So those are my two pieces of advice.
Okay. Oh, that's beautiful, man. So I'm gonna take this a few different lanes here. Yeah, okay. You know how it is, man.
I know how it is.
First one, as your child grows and gets into better leagues and competitions, like Tade started off in a house league, or first a rec, then house, then he got selected for an AU team. And as your child grows, and if you're a parent who has these aspirations or the child has aspirations, understand that it will become lucrative. Lucrative. So, have some funds aside for that. So, and also remember, every parent is paying this fee.
Mm-hmm.
Every parent has expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Just because your child was the man on his or her league, or it might be him or her or whatever it is, it's not promised that that will be the case in this better league with better competition.
Can I just share?
Sure. Like
very, very a sure. short story.
Sure, but sure.
So flag football, that was D. Mm. Like, and even though we didn't go win a championship, you know, we won one playoff game. We lost to the runner up in the second playoff game. Mm. But he killed it at running back, mm. right? He was so small, so quick. Like, he was darting up and down the field. He scored a touchdown, at least one touchdown, mm. if not multiple, in every single game except for the elimination game in the playoffs. So some games where we only scored 6 points, that was his touchdown, right? Mm. And so there was a few times I caught him talking about tackle football because we weren't there yet, talking about, oh, how fun it's going to be because he was so good in flag. And I was like, bruh, tackle is a whole different story. And then right. there's going to be a lot of other kids, and some have been playing tackle Correct. Longer than you.
Correct.
And so you get there. So same thing, right? Like, he could have played on the American team if I really didn't want to coach. Mm. But he has stiff competition,
of course,
to go up against, because there are other parents who their kids have been right. playing. They're just as athletic.
Right.
Some of them are bigger. Most of them are bigger. Mm-hmm. Like, you got an uphill battle to climb. And you'll see
the field less playing
Correct.
Time.
Correct.
So that's the other. That's the part. You're just because your child was him or her don't mean they're going to be him or her here, because right. now all those hims and hers
are all together. In one. Yeah.
Now you got to find out who's really him,
who's or really her. Yeah.
And as you go up higher and higher, mm-hmm. it gets harder and harder. And the separation comes here
yep.
and here. This is where the separation is. Who can think differently, train differently, not status quo, not what he or her is doing, not worrying about what the other kids are saying. You know what? I believe in myself. I'm going to do this. You want to doubt me? Go ahead. Keep doubting me. You know how we are at the court, right?
Right.
Someone doubts us. I want to put that same... All right, go ahead. Keep talking. I'll show you. And if not for you, I'm going to show myself. I'm going to do it for myself. So that's my first piece of it, right? One is the finances. Two is the expectations as a parent that, and you get to that level. And for your kid, you and your child. Manage expectations.
Hmm.
And my third one is to... Look... Coaching is the easiest part of this whole process for me.
Yeah, the actual
coaching, dealing with the
coaching,
kids.
Yeah.
Especially practices. I enjoy that the most. This is a very, 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 I know you'll sign off on it, time-consuming process.
Mm-hmm.
This will take you, if you're going to coach, it's going to require your time. You got to be there first. You got to be there at the end.
Be there
clean
last.
Up.
Yes.
Your child's going to be with you. You got school the next day.
Got to make sure all the other kids get picked up.
Correct. There's a lot of other factors involved. A lot of coordination with other coaches. A lot of coordination with the commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
With other teams. Jerseys. Field availability.
Bruh, socks.
Access.
Socks.
Socks.
Socks was the socks was the point of contention in the last week.
Right? and remember
crazy.
For basketball, it was getting a court.
Right.
There's a lot of factors involved. So if you don't have the time commitment, I would say to watch it, learn it, and then get into it. But my man's hair just got thrown to the fire and he took it. Like, but again, you sink or you swim.
But again, like, and if you don't, that's fine. This is not to say everybody should coach.
Right.
But just realize and then understand and respect that and say, you know what, even if I don't like the style, because I know you had that, right? Like, there's a coach where you're like, I don't really prefer his method of coaching,
mm-hmm.
but we're still going to respect the fact
Absolutely.
That he's taking his time to do this.
Correct, correct. Just like anybody else, you may not like a ref,
right?
But he or her, they're taking their time to do this.
Right.
So respect that. Just like you as a parent woke up, drove your kid,
right.
picked them up, whatever, we respect that. Same thing. I always thank all the parents and all the kids for coming out, being consistent, and just kind of going through with this. Because, I mean, again, no one has to.
Right.
No one's forcing you to do it. So if you choose to be there, then be there. But again, be respectful when you're there. So that's my advice. Or my
sign
few
off on all that.
So, man, this was, I mean, I don't know about you, but this was a great episode.
It was fun.
We didn't have Matt here to... No, I'm just going
to distract
not,
him.
No, I'm
no.
not going to say nothing about that. We hope he gets
we miss
better.
You, Matt.
We hope you get better, Matt. We'll hope to see you soon. But with that being said, sir, any other final notes?
No, that's it. Look forward to the next episode.
All right, let's wrap it up. I appreciate you guys checking in. You know, just, you know where to find us. Thank you for watching. And with that, see you till we see you, right?
Peace. Next time.
Peace.